Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802 to call in your real ghost story. Of course, you can write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can email it if you want to record the audio file on your phone. Send it over to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways of getting those stories to us. Open lines today with many of your stories and calls and emails. So looking forward to that. It's Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hello.
Hello. I'm looking forward to getting into some of these stories today. It's like we're loaded up. We even have one from yesterday I forgot to tell you about.
Okay.
So
well,
there's even an extra one if we get to it.
If we get to it. Okay.
If not, we'll just push it into another show.
But, sounds good.
But starting out, we're all loaded up here. Let's go to our first story today. It's going to come into us from Jeffrey in Oklahoma at 855-853-4802. Jeffrey, let's hear your real ghost story.
Hi, guys. This is Jeffrey from Skytook, Oklahoma. I hope you guys are enjoying Branson. I lived up there for a while. I lived at Reed Springs. Well, I went to school at Reed Springs, and I lived at Indian Point just past Silver Dollar City up there. So I hope you guys are enjoying that. They were the best years of my life. So a few years ago, I moved to a town called Ponca City, which is about 120 miles north of Oklahoma City. And it was me, my wife, and then my three adopted girls, Kaylee, Lily, and Gabby. And then me and Danielle had two of our own, Aurelia and Mel. We moved into this house that we had originally passed on just because from the outside it didn't look like much. But when we went to check it out, it was really nice, had beautiful hardwood floors and tiles. And so we moved in and we loved it. It was beautiful. It had a great big backyard, tree coverage. It was great. So when we moved in, we didn't have a lot of stuff. The Tulsa area has had a big infestation of bed bugs, and we moved into an apartment that had some. And so when we moved out, we basically just threw away all of our furniture and most of our clothes. Had to pretty much start over. So we moved into that house, and we got the girls, you know, new beds and stuff like that. Well, we didn't have enough money to get me and Danielle a bed, so we just like to put here on the couches. So the back bedroom was the girls' playroom, which was the master bedroom. Okay. So back there, they had dolls, their toys, stuff like that. And three girls slept in one room, two girls slept in the other, and then they had their places. So, one night, me and my wife were sleeping in the living room, and she's really like a sleeper, and I'm a very heavy sleeper. And the way I slept, I could see down to the hallway, and I always felt like there was something there watching me just beyond the darkness that I couldn't see. I always felt like I would open my eyes and it would be there. It never was though. It never was. I never did see anything. But we had doors open and closed all the time, and they had motion sensor dolls back in their room that would just go off for no reason. We didn't have any cats or any dogs or anything to set them off, so we weren't really sure what was doing it, but we always felt, the house felt very ominous, the house felt very oppressive. I've lived in dozens of homes. I moved around a lot as a kid, I've moved around a lot as an adult, never had a problem getting settled into a new house, being scared of a new house, anything like that. So this was new territory for me. And I felt it, my wife felt it, and the older kids felt it. Well, Aurelia, who was probably 4 at the time, would tell us about her friend, who she would play with, her imaginary friend, who had kind of an out-of-time name. Her name was Catalina, which I thought was kind of, not a whole lot of Catalinas anymore. Of course, I know there's not a whole lot of Aurelias, but, where would a 4-year-old get that name? She couldn't. It was just weird. Well, one day we were talking about it, and she said Catalina slept in the walls. And that kind of threw up a red flag. And then at night, not every night, but there were several occasions when the dolls in the back room would go off for no reason. I think I already said that. So we would go back there, and of course there's nothing back there. We would take the dolls and we would turn them off, and we would put them back down. We would go back to bed, and after we would lay back down, they would go off again. Now, different dolls say different things, and it would always be the dolls that we turned off kept saying, and only would stop when we took out the batteries. So one night, me and my wife were sleeping in the living room. Like I said, I'm a very heavy sleeper. And the kitchen connected diagonally to the living room. The girls are asleep in bed, all the TVs are off, there's nothing to make any noise in this house. And out of the kitchen area, I hear, "Mama," like a very guttural, whispery yell. It was, it was girl's voice. And of course, my eyes popped open and I shot up out of bed because it scared the bejesus out of me. And I shook Danielle and I asked her if she heard that. She had no idea what I was talking about. So I went to one room, and the girls are asleep. Turned on the light, nobody moved. Went in the other room, did the same thing, everybody's out. And so I stayed up for a few more hours watching TV. Eventually, I was able to go back to sleep. So after a few months of this, not being able to sleep, being scared all the time, doors opening and closing, the stuff with the dolls. Aurelia kept talking about her friend. Her friend didn't like us. Her friend didn't want us to see her. It was just really creepy. So me and Danielle, I decided that I was going to do something about it. And I was raised in a Christian home. And, I was always told that there's power in the name of Jesus. So my wife recorded me on her Samsung phone. she recorded me basically calling out whatever entity was there. And we're in the living room, and I'm talking to it, and I'm asking if it's there. I'm asking, you know, give me a sign. If, you know, if there is something here, let me know you're here. And I hear my wife gasp, and I look at her, and I say, what? And she goes, oh, my God, come look at this. She pauses it and rewinds it. And when I ask if there was anything here, like, 7 or 8, and I always thought the orbs thing was the stupidest thing. You know, it's dust, or that's a moth or something. Well, 7 or 8 of these things appear on her camera. And when I asked if something was there, or I told it to leave or something, all of them flew straight through me. When I told it to get out, it was a plethora of these translucent, bluish-white circles, and they flew at me, like right through me on this camera. And, you know, I didn't feel anything. I didn't, you know, but I'm watching this on camera. And so I was like, okay, that's it. Putting the foot down, they're leaving or I'm leaving. So I walk through the house and, you know, I say, you know, in the name of Jesus, I demand who or whatever you are, get out of my house. This is no longer your home. This is my family. You know, you're not going to scare us anymore. I want you to leave, you know. And I went through every room and I said that. And after that, my wife recorded the whole thing. After I said that, not one orb, not one doll went off at night. The bad feelings of the home were gone. And Aurelia quit talking about her friend. Never mentioned it again. So anyway, that's my one and only story. I'll be here on the podcast. I love what you guys are doing. Most people, you know, you tell them this stuff and they just don't believe it. And, you know, what do you do? So I appreciate you guys giving people a platform to get this stuff out. Anyway, you guys are great. I hope you enjoy Branson. Get out on the lake and have some fun. Hey, teenager, track. Go-kart place. It's a good job. Doesn't pay very much on there. So, anyway, you guys take it easy, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
There you go.
I always think when kids come up with information that you, when they're really little and you have a good control on what's coming in and out of their life, and they suddenly are coming up with names and ideas of, like, things living in the wall. Mm-hmm. I mean, stuff that you've kind of, you know, that they haven't been exposed to.
Yeah.
That's a good sign that something else is going on beyond just an imaginary friend.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that kids, I mean, even, you know, we keep a good track on what our kids, you know, watch and whatnot. But even then, there, you know, so there's been some times where it's like, where is she getting that? And then, like, 2 days later, I'll catch it on a show or something. But sometimes there's things that are just so out of the ordinary that, you know, wait a second, you didn't watch Ouija or Annabelle, or, you know, it's like, how are you knowing this or that? I mean, other than me having giving her Raggedy Ann dolls and saying, go to mommy and tell her it's Annabelle.
Yeah, that's not fun.
It's always fun. She goes in and says goodnight to her, and I teach Harper to say horrible things about Annabelle as you walk in. but yeah, it is, I think that is a good sign of there's something else going on here.
There is, yeah.
There really is. I love this story. The creepy part with the dolls was my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you can have creepy dolls doing or involved in a ghost story, that that makes for a good ghost story. Thank you, Jeffrey, for calling in and sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go to this caller and hear your ghost story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Debbie. First off, I wanted to thank you for playing my story, which was the Mimicking Ghost, back a few months ago. It was pretty cool listening to myself on the podcast and brought back a lot of memories. And I hope that everybody that listened to it enjoyed it. But I thought I would give a call back and share another story. Like I had promised, this time it's going to be a Ouija board story, which tends to be my favorite that you play. And I figured, well, since I have an experience, I might as well share what happened to me since. So back in 1998, when I was 17, a pretty big group of us, I would say probably around, I don't know, 15 friends, including my cousin, we had gone to this cemetery that is pretty well known in our community. It's just visually stunning. It's up on a hill. It looks like something you would see in the classic horror movie. However, driving through it, it's not a very good, it doesn't have a very good feeling to it. So of course, of all places to try out the Ouija board for the very first time, mind you, we all decided we would try that place. And we went there probably around 11 o'clock at night or so. We wanted to play it safe. It's like, if they're quiet, we're from a quiet town, so we just wanted to make sure that there weren't going to be many people on the road. And since there are houses relatively close, we wanted to just make sure everybody was pretty much tucked in for the night, considering the size of our group that was going. So since it's up on a hill, we had to find a place where we could sit where there was relatively flat ground, so that the planchette wouldn't move due to the elevation of where we were sitting. So we found this one row of headstones that was closer to where cars could drive through. So it was flat enough, and we just kind of started there. Since I was one of the people that came up with the idea, they decided that I should have my hands on the planchette along with two other friends of ours. We didn't want too many people sitting in a circle. The environment is not conducive to all of us having our hands on it. And B, you know, we had some jokesters in our group of friends, so we wanted to just keep it as simple as possible and go from there. So we sat down, and I remember I sat down with my back up against a gravestone, which in retrospect, I think back now, and I would never do that because I wouldn't want to disrespect those that have been laid to rest there or the families of those who have been laid to rest there. But as a dumb teenager, you don't think about those things. And then there was a friend to my right and to my left. So we each put just one finger on the planchette and started asking the typical questions, such as, is anybody here? If so, what's your name? And what have you. So for the first 5 or 10 minutes, nothing really happened. The planchette was moving, but there was no words coming out of it. It wasn't spelling anything. It was just kind of moving erratically. And just as we were about to call it a night and give up, it kept going to the word yes. But there was no question really to go along with that. So we again asked, okay, is someone here? And it said yes. And we asked, are you a boy or a girl? And it went spelled out boy. And I asked what his name was, and he didn't respond to that for the first couple times I asked him. So instead of asking his name, I asked him, how old are you? And he went to 7 years old. And
again, at this point, there was, out of our group, only one of our friends had like a little flashlight attached to his keychain. And the rest of us, being that we were smokers, a lot of us had our lighters. So the light situation was not very good. But we made it work. We just wanted to have the Ouija board illuminated so we could make out what it was saying, or spelling, rather. Finally, after asking five or six times, it finally agreed to spell its name, and it spelled out Oscar. And we tried asking Oscar how he had passed away and did not get a response. And at that time, my cousin, who was a troublemaker then and is still a troublemaker now, just to be different and just to be try to act tougher than what he was, he brought a drink with him, and when he was finished drinking, he threw his bottle, he just threw it, and it went rolling down the hill. Now, I had gotten really angry because I just, you know, A, littering is annoying, and B, to desecrate a resting place is just angersome. Anyway, so it started because everybody was talking and everybody was just in shock about it actually working, the Ouija board working. A lot of us were hyped up, and so at that point, the more hyped up the group got, the more erratic the planchette would move. And those of us who had our fingers on the planchette, we were getting uncomfortable. I took that as a sign that it was getting agitated. So we kind of just decided as a big group, let's call it a night and get going before the cops arrive. And we said goodbye to Oscar and wished him well and thanked him for speaking with us. And I also had a hesitation growing up, of course, listening to my family saying, don't ever play with Ouija boards, and if you do, which I'm assuming they knew I was going to at some point, to make sure you close the circle, or however people put it. And one of my friend Mike, he was one of the guys that had his finger on the planchette, he just said, hey, why don't you turn around and just let's check out the grave that you were sitting on, with your back to. So he flicked his lighter, and sure enough, it was Oscar, and he had died when he was 7 years old. And so once my friend and I realized, like it sunk in that that was the scenario, then it became total fear that we felt. I think the fear was that A, it was conscious enough to give accurate answers. It was something there that was aware of where we were, of the fact that I was sitting on with my back to the headstone of a boy named Oscar who died at that same age that the spirit had said. So then we went from, okay, getting up and getting ready to go back to our cars to freaking out and running to our cars. And then, as we were all piling up in the cars, we heard what sounded like glass on the pavement where the cars were parked. And sure enough, the bottle that my cousin had thrown downhill was now somehow up right near the tire of the car. And that was our moment where we were like, okay, this thing wants us to get out of here and to take our trash with us. Needless to say, the whole entire group of friends ended up sleeping at my house that night because we were all too scared to go our separate ways. So I just thought I would share that story. I hope you enjoy it, and hopefully you play it. If not, I was happy to share it anyway. Thanks for the podcast. I look forward to listening to many more, and have a great night.
I always think when you go and you have somebody in your group that's going to taunt the spirits, that it just, it's kind of like you get what you get. You know, if you're going to end up taking this person to mm-hmm. a graveyard and you know he's kind of an ass, just be prepared.
Yeah, you guys got to really be careful with who you're taking to these things.
Mm-hmm.
And if everyone's on the same page of what's going on, what the etiquette is, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. And anyone who's like, well, that's stupid, that's the key right there to go, I'm sorry, you're not going to be going with us.
Yeah.
Because the attitude right there is, you know.
Sure.
It's not going to work out well.
Yeah.
At the end. So, yeah, it's interesting because there's sometimes, there's obviously, that's kind of the tactic of some paranormal investigators. By no means is it all of them. You know, it's just kind of a fraction that is kind of the tactic. And it's, we interviewed somebody, or I interviewed somebody a while back, and he was telling me about like how he was doing that. I'm like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Like that's probably not the best of ideas. And then proceeded to share some stories of others who had done that. And he was kind of, I think, new to it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But you have experienced ones that do it too sometimes. And I, you know, I guess it's a matter of what you feel comfortable taking on after that happens. But I think it's kind of the rule of, well, I guess no complaining when the spirits follow you home.
Well, I guess if you're the kind of person that would go stand on a street corner and holler horrible things at people that walk by, then go right ahead, because that's kind of what you're doing to the dead.
Yeah. That's what I think what people are forgetting.
Yeah.
You know, where it's almost kind of like ghosts are celebrities in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Because people tend to have zero filter when it comes to what they're going to yell at a celebrity or post at a celebrity or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, they're not human, almost.
Yeah.
You know, just for some reason that filter just kind of goes away. And the vileness in humans can come out. And sometimes I think that happens with ghosts, too. It's like no longer really viewed as it was a person. So thank you for the story. Let's get another caller, John in North Carolina. Hi, you're on the show.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is John from North Carolina. I hadn't called it in a while. I've been wanting to, just hadn't had the time. But I'd noticed a bunch of former sailors calling in and telling their ghost stories from being in the Navy. And I have one myself, and I also have another short one that my grandfather had from World War II. Mine goes, I have two of them, actually. First one is, I was on watch one time, and I was in the propeller room where the propeller actually exits the ship. We didn't have power when there was a hurricane coming. They had to tow us out, and it was an aircraft carrier, so propellers were within inches of the ground, and my job was to sit down there and make sure that they didn't drag the ground and get ripped out and start flooding. Well, down there all by myself, and there was one ladder way in, one ladder way out, same ladder way, but I was down there for about 4 hours with nothing but emergency lights and myself and a sound powered telephone. And during the duration of the time I was down there, I kept hearing feet run down the ladder and back up the ladder, and I'd look and nobody was there. And it's kind of interesting more than anything, because if you've ever heard a metal ladder on a ship, I mean, it's pretty distinct. But that's the first one. The second one I have is in the berth, and that's where people sleep. Mine had 220 racks, and they were all full. And I just worked all day. I just got off of a watch, and I was looking to see if a buddy of mine was in his rack or not, because if not, I was going to try and find him and go grab a beer or something. And so I was walking to my locker so I could change, and I shot my head down the aisleway to see if he was in his rack or not. And when I looked at his rack, I saw what looked to be a bloody man hanging out with his head cocked backwards looking at me. And I took a double take, and it was gone, but it creeped me out. And eventually I ran into my buddy, and I didn't say nothing to him because I didn't want to freak him out or anything. I didn't want to look crazy either. But finally, I brought it up to him. I said, by the way, you know, you ever feel like you're not alone when you're asleep? And he got real serious, and he said, what'd you see? And I told him what I saw, and he said, man, I always feel like I'm being watched tonight. And the next morning, he actually had his rack switched out with somebody else because she was just creeped out. But those are my two stories. My grandfather's story, he's dead and gone, but apparently one night he'd woke up to what he thought was a dream, but his aunts had raised him because of the Great Depression, and the aunt and I'm about to mention, she had been dead for a long time, but he was out in the Pacific, and he woke up one night to his aunt saying, "Sammy, come with me." And he was like, "What are you talking about?" And I mean, he might have been dreaming, I don't know, but he followed her, and she pulled him up out of his berth and onto the main deck, and as soon as he got to the main deck, there was Japanese planes flying over his ship that shot up his barracks and killed everybody in it, except for him, because he followed his dead aunt out onto the deck. But just figured you guys might like those stories. Proud EVP, encourage everybody to do it. Keep up the good work. Talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Thank you for the stories, John.
It's pretty hard to deny a story where you're the only survivor because you saw a ghost and you heeded their warning.
Mm-hmm. I could see it being pretty easy to not heed the ghost warning too, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just out of fear.
Yeah.
You know, because you could take it either way. Like, is this something leading me to something dangerous or deadly? And you just kind of have to make the judgment call at that moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. Obviously, you probably don't have the ghost story then to tell about if that's what happens.
Sure.
But so that's where you only hear the good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, they're not that often leading them into darker situations. Thank you for that. 855-853-4802. And if you guys want to be an EPP like he was talking about, you can sign up on our website, ghostpodcast.com. That is where you sign up to be an EPP, get all of the bonus material. And I've been getting the question lately about on iTunes, the shows go up to 300.
Okay.
As far as the episodes that are existed. And we have far more shows than 300 episodes. But because of that, iTunes drops them. That's just, it is what they do. It's they do it for every single show that exists. Nothing special about us. It just is what that is. Most shows didn't even post up to 300. Sometimes they just post like their last 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. We keep ours out there. So anyway, if you want the shows beyond that, we've now added those back to the EPP website where you can download them and stream them direct there. So if you want some of the older episodes, like 300 more episodes of our beginning of Real Ghost Stories Online, those are up on the EPP website as well. So when you sign up to be an EPP, you get access to the old archive, you get access to all the EPP episodes that come out every week, and video content as well. So check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Let's go to a caller in Ireland. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Erlen. I live in Ireland. I will soon become an EPP member, just waiting for some financial situations to settle. I have submitted a few stories before. This is another story. I was just talking to one of my junior high school friends, and we started reminiscing about school. And the story came up of when we were in junior high school. We used to have a pool in the basement, but it got shut down during my eighth year, which was my senior year, because unfortunately someone had passed during the summer of that year, of the previous year, I mean. So the school decided to prevent any more incidents. They were just going to close down the pool. And I remember we were not allowed to go down into the basement. It became like this huge thing where everybody would gossip about it. We started making up stories for the freshman kids about how the pool was haunted and just to scare them off, to make sure, you know, so the teachers wouldn't have to worry. That's the thing, but we were sneaking there all the time. And I remember one night, it was for talent show night, we decided that we were going to go into the pool and sneak in there and try to do kind of like a ritual to summon whoever was that died or whatever. We were young, we were stupid. We decided to go. It was about five or six of us down there. And I remember at first it was just a lot of snickering and all of us just sitting there. We had candles. And we started talking to it. We were like, "You're here. Is this true?" Then come down. Come out to us. Show us that you're here. The pool was pretty empty. It just had, like, a baby puddle in the middle. and it was like really dirty. And I remember it was very hot in the basement, and all of a sudden everything just popped and everything got cold. And I remember like my friend pausing. She's like, I feel someone behind me. And I was right across from her, and I couldn't see what it was. And I told her, I don't see anything. Again, I'm very sensitive, so I get to actually see and feel a lot of things, but I wasn't able to see it. And then all of a sudden, I see like this white light, and it gets colder, and I have goosebumps all over my body, and I feel it coming towards me, and I ran out. And I never went back to the basement. And after that, a few of our teachers actually complained about situations happening in the school. And sometimes I feel responsible for what happened. And then there's things that it's just like, oh, maybe they're making it up as it goes. I don't know. What do you guys think? I don't know. We might have actually summoned something or someone. I'm not sure how to react to it. I do feel guilty, like I said before, but at the same time, I'm not sure.
And your thoughts?
I think that with a pool, anytime that you have a pool that's been shut down for a reason like that, you kind of maybe have a ripe situation for a haunting, because usually there's just, I don't know, it kind of, even though the water's gone, it's just there was that much energy there for so long. It just kind of lingers.
Sure.
And I don't know. I kind of think it maybe wasn't something that they conjured. It was just kind of there.
I don't know why, but I'm always kind of creeped out by empty pools.
Mm-hmm.
There's something very weird about them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know why. I've always kind of felt that way. The creepiest empty pool is the one that's... There's video of it. There's images of it. It's the one that was in what's the name of the city where the Chernobyl disaster occurred. I believe it's, and I always say the name of the city wrong, so I apologize to any listeners that we have over there. I believe it's like Pripyat, or I always say it wrong. Anyway, Pripyat. I don't know. Anyway, it's creepy as hell. It's a big Olympic sized pool. All just fallen into disarray, and it's still standing. Mm-hmm. Some people are going to explore it. But even now, just driving down the road sometimes, now that it's no longer summer season, some of the outdoor pools that are, especially at like older hotels where they still have them, and they weren't even the greatest condition when they are functioning, but now they're even creepier when they're empty and the tiles are kind of falling up. I don't know why it is.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because that was... at one point a site of such happiness, and now it's just so sad.
It's probably the same reason I find like malls, abandoned malls, and anything else that was, you know, large and happy and exciting and now abandoned to be very intriguing.
Sure.
So yeah. Thanks for the call and sharing your story with us. Let's go to you. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hey, this is Brittany. I'm from Golden, BC, Canada, and I'm a huge fan. Weekly, I got to travel 4 hours to get to my job, and I stay there for about a week, and then I travel 4 hours back. Anyways, and then I usually travel about 2 a.m. to get to work by 7 a.m., and in between that, I listen to your podcast, and I love it, and I scare myself. But anyways, my story is of me and my ex-husband went to Jamaica for a honeymoon. And we had this gorgeous room. And I remember walking in feeling, you know, a little bit uneasy. And I kind of let it go. I just had this weird energy, or I don't know how to explain it. But anyways, it kind of just left. And it was like a few days in, I had a bit to drink the night before. And anyways, my ex-husband wakes me up the next morning. Well, he tried to. He comes on the bed, and I'm laying on my stomach, and he's shaking me. He's like, hey, Brittany, come on, wake up. And he's explaining, he's like, let's go do this, let's go do that. And then I don't open my eyes because I'm feeling pretty hungover. Anyways, I'm listening to him on the porch, sitting, drinking his coffee, and my eyes are just closed. And all of a sudden, I just hear this, shoop. Hey, Britt, wake up. And I just opened my eyes right away, and it was just so freaky. And I, like, looked up, and Andrew was still on the porch, and I was just like, oh, my God, what was that? And, like, I ran out to the porch. I'm like, Andrew. I'm just like, I think I just heard a ghost. He's like, no, you didn't. I told him how I explained it to him. He's like, oh, well, maybe you're dreaming. But he's not a big believer, and I'm a huge believer. So that's really my ghost story. It's small. And but yeah, thanks you guys, love your show, and I'm gonna listen to you every week. Okay, bye.
Thanks for sharing your story with us, Brittany. We really do appreciate you calling that in and being able to get that out for our audience. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write it in on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Several ways to get stories to us. And I'm beginning to work on another episode of Seeing Ghosts, by the way. If you have a ghost photo or video that you've captured that you'd like to share with us, email it to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com, and we may end up using it on our next episode of Seeing Ghosts, which will be out shortly. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. This is my third call into you guys. This one's about something that had happened at my work. I was an opening store manager, worked in a grocery store, so every morning I had to go in at 6 o'clock. I was the only one there, and I'd get in the store and do my whole routine, and always in the back of the store, there was a black shadow man, and it would walk down the aisles as I'd walk down the aisles in the front of the store, so a normal-sized store for a little town anyways, and you could see him walking with you. And it got pretty creepy. I never told anybody about it, and I'd done this job for about 3 years, going into the store every morning and knowing it's going to be there. You could hear it go in the doors. It had like a swinging door, went in and out of the meat department. You could hear it go in the swinging doors, and when they'd go through the swinging doors, there was another really light door that you could hear it with the air pressure. That door would open and close. So every morning when I'd get in the store in the morning, I'd go do my normal routine. I'd walk in the door, lock it behind me, and then I'd have to go around the outer perimeter of the store and turn on all the lights in the cases, in the meat cases, in the produce case, the freezer lights. And I'd have to go into that meat department in the very back of the store and get hamburger out and put the meat out for first thing in the morning. So I always had to run in that room. Run to the freezer, grab the meat tray out, run back out. I toss it in there. I didn't really care how it looked because I wanted to get out of the back of the store. Then I would take off back to the front of the store and do my thing up front, lock myself in the office as I would get in the safe and count down the tills for the morning. 45 minutes normally in that store all by myself with whatever was in the back of the store. And like I said, I had done that job about 3 years. And when I finally got to train someone in to do it, I never told them about the ghost figure that I would see, shadow man, whatever you want to call him, because I didn't want to do that job anymore. I didn't want to be in there with him anymore. And I got her all trained in, and she asked me about a week into the job. She said, "Do you ever see something in the back of the store walking by the meat department?" And hesitant to say anything, but I was like, "Well, what do you mean?" She's like a black shadowy figure about 6 foot tall. I was like, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Yeah, I've noticed him before. I just don't talk about him because I was hoping he would go away." And she was all right with him. I mean, she did the job for another 2 years or so. And then sure enough, she got someone to replace her, and she never told the new lady either. And, the new lady did end up seeing it as well. And I don't know whatever happened. I worked there for 8 years, and he was there the whole time I worked there. You'd only see him in the morning hours, though, when you're opening the store, when you were in there by yourself. There was never anybody in there by themselves at night. So that's the only time you'd catch him walking the meat case. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
I think what makes that story scary is because it takes place in the meat department. If he was going up and down the tampon aisle, it would just not be near as scary.
It would just be creepy and like, why is this ghost guy in the tampon aisle?
Yeah, but
and
still.
Is he as embarrassed as he'd be in life?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That would be hell for a guy ghost to be stuck on that aisle.
The meat man ghost.
The meat man ghost.
He just likes looking at the meat. Maybe, you know, some... You
Maybe
know,
he's part of the meat.
Well, that's just creepy.
Okay.
And messed up. Although that has happened in history.
Uh-huh.
So I suppose anything is possible there.
Could be.
There you go. Good story. Thank you for sharing that with us. We do appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. If you like the show, become an EPP. Extra podcast person. Get all the benefits of being an EPP, all the bonus episodes, all of the archived episodes that have fallen off iTunes, and exclusive video content as well. So you can't go wrong there. It's like more than 400 bonus episodes right there for you to consume and binge away on. It's at ghostpodcast.com. Only $5 a month to be an EPP. Or sign up for a full year, and that way you get one of those months free. So not bad if you're planning on binging away. 400 episodes is a lot to listen to.
It is.
So you may need it, probably more than a month. With that, yeah, there's more hours than that in a month, but there's that's a good solid week of not sleeping and just listening nonstop. So I'm curious. Dun, 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 dun. Oops, I hit multiply 24. That's half a month.
Okay.
It's actually 1.666.
Oh, that's meant to be.
Yeah, there you go. So that's a lot of binging. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com. We appreciate you guys being EPPs and helping to keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.